because that's how I always start the Soul Prince podcast. And it's so good to be back. I have not really been on here much in a while, but it is so exciting to be back with season three. Yay! And for today's episode, I have the lovely, amazing Sheridan Cass. Welcome, Sheridan.
Hello.
Hello. And just to kind of, you know, tell everybody about how we connected. So as you know, I am an SCHH practitioner, which stands for Soul Center Healing Hypnosis. And I met Sheridan through, I believe it was an interview. I saw the interview that you did with two of our practitioners. And I was just immediately drawn to Sheridan. I was like, I know this lady. It's like, I have to know this lady. So we connected, and we both provided services for one another. Sheridan did, I believe, emotion code for me, and I did an Akashic reading for her. And it was just like, yep. what we already knew. And yeah. So that's how she and I connected, and we've just been connected ever since. But I had to have her on Soul Print so you could learn about all of her amazing abilities. So Sheridan, I'm gonna just go ahead and kick this off. Please tell everyone about yourself, you know, where you're from, what you do, and any other details like human design, astrology, whatever you want to share.
Okay. Basically I live on Salt Spring Island, on the west coast of British Columbia. I grew up in Ontario. I was born in Montreal.
You're from all over.
I'm from all over, from Canada anyways. And, but I've lived here for 20 plus years, and I moved here in 1996 originally. And I was called here by frogs, as you know, Rebecca.
We had a whole conversation about frogs, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So animal totems definitely are something that we have in common, that I've always loved the animal stuff and listened to them as my guides. So I did massage therapy. I went to school for that. And then I did Reiki and I did craniosacral therapy. I've been educated in Jin Shin Do, which is Chinese acupressure. And I got to emotion code by Dr. Bradley Nelson, which was in about 2009. I'm not very good with remembering my dates. And the body code, the new book, which I love. And I did get the body code then as well, which they were like these kind of thick, heavy, dense binders of information. And there was some videos that went with it. I didn't gravitate to the body code as much at that time, but I could use it, but it always just led me back to trapped emotions. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I saw clients all the way from, when I moved back to Salt Spring, it was 2004. Like I was here in 96, left in 2000, came back in 2004. And from then on, I saw clients hands-on all the way until 2018. In 2018, I had to stop because I was being harassed, we'll say. I ended up getting some entity attachments, which is how I ended up finding SCHH and how I've bonded with my soul family here. Definitely found some soul family in that community. And it's what helped remove the entities that I had attached that I had gotten in 2018. And I had been working with and removing entities and doing all that stuff for years, but in 2018, it was probably my most personally challenging year. And so because I was personally challenged, I was weaker. And that is how we end up having attachments often, is when we're going through some kind of traumatic event or stress. So Yeah, that's how I ended up with entity attachments, although some came from birth and were there from birth and some came at different times, but it was in the 2018 time period that I ended up with some nasty energy attached to me in my sacral chakra, of course. So I was weak and I didn't have the energy to put my hands on people or set boundaries properly. So I just stopped doing that work. Mm-hmm. And I basically just continued doing emotion code work. And that was all I did for years since then. Mm-hmm. A little bit of cranial sacral, but just for family and friends from that point onwards. Mm-hmm. But so I started my healing journey in 1996, like officially. I went to school in 94 and 95 in massage therapy. And it was in 96 that, well, it was 95, 96 that I had the dream or vision with the tree frogs telling me to go west. So that's how I ended up here. And Salt Spring is a very special place. It has, the indigenous people said it's basically a big giant crystal that goes straight to heaven. And what I see as I went to school before I did massage therapy, I went to school for geotechnical engineering and did that for almost 5 years and decided that I wasn't wanting to go live up north and log core samples and live with all those men and and not do
and
that.
Their audacity. No, I'm just kidding.
You know, it's kidding. But yeah, I just, it was like, I really knew I was going to have a family and I wanted to do that. So it wasn't ideal. And it was actually some close guy friends from that time that suggested I do something in the healing field because I was always telling people what herbs to take. And I was always kind of the healer naturally. I was always Mama Cass.
It's the new Mama Cass, y'all.
I was the mama. So
she's just not in a band this time, you know?
No. I would love to be.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
But I wasn't gifted with holding a tone or whatever. I love music, but I don't have the ear for all of
that. I feel that. I understand. Neither do I.
I was definitely meant to be more of a healer person in this lifetime. Maybe in all my lifetimes, according to you.
For sure. You know, and we can heal with so many different things, you know, like if we really want to talk about Mama Cass from the Mamas and the Papas, like she had a very beautiful, beautiful voice. And I'm sure that she did on some level heal people with that voice, absolutely. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, music and frequency, that is something I'm really into. And I do feel that it's extremely healing for all of us. So
absolutely.
My cat is in here. Sorry.
That's okay.
Fight last night, so she's a little hurt.
Oh no.
Needs her healing mama.
I know. She's like, I'm gonna sit next to the source over here. I want to get that good.
Yeah.
Oh, poor baby. Well, I hope she gets to feeling better.
I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
I gave her some homeopathic remedy and colloidal silver in her water. I know a lot of people don't think about these things, but those work for animals too. So really good, actually.
Yes, that is excellent. So tell me, you know, do you know, and well, I know you know, but can you share like your astrology and numerology and human design?
Human design, I can't really tell you. You could tell me better than I can tell you.
Well, I know you're a generator.
Yes. So I don't really know human design as well as you do. I just learned about it, thankfully, from you. But I know I'm a one and I know I'm an Aries and I have a Virgo moon and a Virgo rising, which is what really keeps me earthy.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say that's that Mama Earth energy right there.
It keeps me really earthy. It also keeps me noticing all the little details of things. And I can read people very well because of it, I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I've always had that energy of clairsentient, meaning I feel, I can sense and feel the truth and the hidden truth, even for that matter. A little bit of clairvoyant, a little bit of clairaudient, but it's more the feeling and the just knowing
aspect. And excuse me, you know, I would describe you as a seer, you know, because I know that you receive information, and even if you're not like technically seeing it, you know, you're sensing it, like you know about it, and you're able to interpret those messages, and you know, that's why it's so important for people to, you know, get to know their own gifts. You know, some people may say, oh, you know, I'm not able to do this. I have people say this to me all the time, like, I'm not able to like vision, you know, envision things and things like that. And that's okay. Like, you can still, like you said, sense things. Like you can feel things. And it's just important to, like, you know, get comfortable in those gifts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think the more you practice, the more your gifts come forward.
Absolutely.
I do also think that the more you give, like, so the more you use your gifts in service, the more your gifts amplify as well. So I do think that, I've noticed that if you become a healer or you work towards helping others, for that matter, your gifts will come online and amplify it. If you're using it for yourself, it might not so much, because that's ego getting in the way usually,
right?
And guiding you in a way that's not healthy. So yeah. And it can trick you.
Yeah. Because, you know, I was actually having the same conversation with a friend of mine this morning. We were talking about how, why is it so easy for us to read for other people, but when it comes to ourselves, sometimes we struggle with it, you know? And I think it's because a lot of times, especially if it's something that you're really, really anxious about, it's like you said, that ego just kind of like puts up a wall, puts up a block between you and that information, because it's like, I don't know if I'm fully ready to interpret it. I don't know if I'm fully ready to hear the truth, you know? And so, Absolutely. Yeah.
And the other thing the ego does is it uses our trapped emotions as a wall and as a shield. Like, it can really cause us to believe things because it's filtered through those trapped emotions, which is part why it's been such a powerful, I want to say a powerful driver of my want to heal and help others through clearing trapped emotions, because emotions are used by the ego and they're used by the astral realm. That is, we travel in the astral realm with our emotional body. So the astral realm is really, really prevalent right now. And I was I realized that we are ascending. Earth is ascending, humanity is ascending, all of us are ascending, but we're moving it through what I'm calling the astral belt. And you know, instead of the asteroid belt, it's the astral belt. So so anyways, those entities and all the things that are stuck in that realm that are of a lower frequency, they're all the, you know, those are basically our pain bodies, our emotional pain bodies. And those emotional pain bodies are what are attaching to us as entities, and they're attracted to whatever we have stuck inside of us.
Right.
So that's why I've, you know, been really focused on clearing trapped emotions more than anything. That has been the thing that has really been the most important thing to me in healing. And also, it's interesting because with my reading with you, you mentioned that, you know, I'd studied every form of healing practically in a lifetime. And one of the last, or one of the ones you mentioned, was where I was a monk. I believe I was a Tibetan monk. And
yes,
I mean, that's really close to my heart, even long before we had that reading, because I've always felt like I missed my lifetimes as a monk. And because I guess they were probably my most peaceful, and I could just sit there and meditate all day, and, you know, pretty nice. Anyways, I guess what I really, my goal was, is that I wanted to heal emotions, the emotional body. And that's where I felt like, and you had said that in my reading too, is that that was where it felt like that was going to do the most to heal where we're at on Earth right now.
Right. And also, you know, all of those bodies, you know, our mental body, our spiritual body, our emotional body, and our physical body, they're all tied together. But they all have their own field, you know, they all have their own space.
Yeah.
And it's really important to, you know, make that distinction, because I feel like nowadays, you know, doing, you know, working on your mental health, like just working on your mental health, you know, and then neglecting your emotional and your physical health and your spiritual health, you're doing yourself a disservice. Like, it's kind of like, and it doesn't necessarily have to be overwhelming, right? You know, you can say, okay, you know, I'm going to make time for these things. That's another thing that I hear a lot, is carving out time, making time to work on, you know, whatever the priority is at the time, right? You know, and I think we also do ourselves a disservice, like not exploring other modalities, you know. Definitely. You know, yeah. And because I mean, just through my connection to SCHH, I have met so many interesting people and other healers like yourself, you know, like we're bringing all of them in, you know. We're like, come on, light workers, like, let's team together, you know. And I also feel like that's such a huge advantage of being in the healing community, is that you have all of these contacts, you know, at your disposal. And you can say, you know, well, maybe, like, for example, maybe I'm not good at this, so I'm going to refer you to this person, because I know, like, I've worked with them, I know them, and I know that they're good at what they do, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that you know, the healing community, when it comes to being a healer, you be, like, the real healers know that there's a kabillion ways to get from A to B.
Right, exactly.
No, nobody's going to be offended by what path you take.
Right.
And that, I feel, is the essence of a true healer. A true healer is not going to have their ego get involved and be like, that way is the only way. And, you know, we need to give people space and time and energy to find their own path. And that's why all different kinds of modalities is so important.
Exactly.
There's just so many layers to right?
I know, right? Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's, yeah. Yeah, it feels complicated, but it's probably not as complicated as our minds are making it out to be.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. And, you know, the thing from the point from point A to B, I feel, is literally to go from our head, our all that verbal diarrhea that goes through our brain.
Right.
Out of there and get into the heart.
Absolutely.
And that is the longest journey, right? Wasn't that one of the things that has been said by others many times, I'm sure.
Indeed. Yes. And I can attest to that as well. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and I've mentioned this, you know, in my, numerology class that I do once a month, and this is a 7 universal year, and that was a message that came through actually as, you know, we entered into January, was, you know, there's going to be this toggle between the head and the heart, you know, like between the head and then like the rest of the body, you know, the masculine and the feminine, the, you know, the receiver of information and then the intuitive, you know.
Yeah. So. And, you know, the other thing is we've been mastering our ego center all for the last 26,000 years. It's mm-hmm. been all about mastering the ego, which is in the solar plexus mm-hmm. and super imbalanced. But as we, I think what's going on literally is that the ascension of Earth and humanity right now going through the, I'll call it the astral belt. Essentially, in this realm where we are right now is lower, we're lower 40 and higher 40. So sometimes we move between them, right? And mm-hmm. and I find as I work with people and I clear trapped emotions and clear entities, I'll end up with entities or I'll have to do some more clearing because mm-hmm. I'm a target.
Right.
And it's like, they're just like, wait, no, I like this person here and you can't make people ascend or get out of that space, you know? And so they're constantly trying to lower my energy so that I can't do the work. But mm-hmm. I realized recently, as of last night, literally, that it's about just compassion and remembering that all of it is just the emotional body that needs to be healed. Mm. And these entities, for the most part, are part of that. And it just shows us where we have more to let go of. And, you know, as we ascend, we're healing all that stuff that feeds the ego in a negative way so that we can master literally the ego aspect of ourselves, which is the solar plexus, and move into the heart. So we're moving from the bottom up and we're coming from the top down. Some of us who've been healers and meditators and, you know, working with spirit our whole lives practically, which is me, I had to move this way.
Yeah.
I had to move from my visions and my wanting to be out of this world and not in this world, you know, basically had to move from that space into my heart. And many people are moving from their root, the imbalanced sacral, right? And then mm-hmm. into the heart from, mm-hmm. which is why we have to, there's all this. Yeah. And even here, this is where I had to heal so much was through my throat chakra. I had to learn to say no. I had to set my boundaries as a healer. This is something that is typical, you know, when you're a giver and you want to, or you're an empath and you sense other people's pain bodies and energy and you're taking it on initially as your own. That's part of my unhealthy ego aspect too. It's just
right.
You're thinking bad thoughts about me.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're not really thinking bad thoughts about me. I'm just sensing their stuff.
Right.
I have to figure out like, oh, that's theirs, not mine. It has nothing to do mm-hmm. with me. And how can I help?
Exactly.
And that's increasing the compassion aspect, which I feel like, I've probably done a lot of that through many lifetimes. So.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, you know, can you tell us more kind of like, you know, we touched on it just now, but can you tell us more about your spiritual journey? Like how did you end up in Salt Spring? You know, tell us about, you know, what that journey has looked like for you.
Well, essentially okay. So I was going to school in Toronto for massage therapy. Mm-hmm. I had gone to Costa Rica for a trip, and was there for a few weeks and I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I felt such a strong desire that I needed to move. And I had this dream, we'll call it. It was more like a vision. So visions to me, they're almost like a different color and hue when I see them mm-hmm. and a dream, but like a dream is almost like a movie. It's kind of interesting. I'm sure you understand that a bit.
Yes, I do.
Essentially, so I had this vision of thousands and thousands of tree frogs, and they were all telling me to go west. And so I came out of that, you know, and was like, okay, that's it. I'm going, I'm not going to school. I'm just gonna, cause it was provincially regulated, the whole massage therapy program. Every province had different requirements to get a ticket, to get a license. And then you could, you know, take insurance claims and stuff like that, which I didn't end up doing. And I just sold my truck, sold everything, ended up moving west within weeks of that vision. That's kind of how I've always been. I've been a person who just, and that's that one energy probably, and that energy probably where I just get a, I get an intuition to do something. So I just do it. It's something that I've always kind of done, especially when I was young. So yeah, I ended up here. And then something that was very profound for me, like a pivotal moment, was a car accident I got into. That was in 1998. And after the car accident, I had some cranial sacral therapy done. I was already doing it myself. So a friend of mine who I'd been trading with and who had taught me Jin Shin Do, she was a really good Jin Shin Do practitioner. She did craniosacral for me. And while I was on the table, this was like probably a week or two after my car accident, I went into a past life. Like I just spontaneously was in a past life, and I'd never had that experience before. And, or I'll call it another life, right?
Okay.
I also see that we are not linear.
Right.
I was in another life, and I was wearing this like dirty old dress, and I feel like it was France, but way before they even had a guillotine, like it was a long time ago. It was, they had the guy, I was getting my head chopped off essentially. So the holding the axe had one of those kinds of axes. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they're called, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And like he was all dressed in black. He had a hood on, even though I was like, come on, I know who you are. Like we live in a small village. You're the blacksmith. And
oh, hey, it's Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was getting my head chopped off, but they were like taking me up, two men carrying me up to take my, cut my head off. I was probably a witch. I didn't remember all of that, but I was probably a witch. And I'm getting ear ringing as I say that. And I had my head on the stump that they were going to chop my head off on. And I was like, no, I want my head. I want my head. No, I want my head. And I saw my head roll away. And all this time I'm in this place having this cranial sacral therapy done on my, and she's holding a part of my head and neck. And
whoa.
I just kept thinking I wanted my head. And then I had, all of a sudden I had this thought, like, if I can want my head, but my head is over there, then I must always have my head. And in that moment, my head came back on my body.
Oh.
And I stood up and I hugged the person who chopped my head off. So total forgiveness, absolutely letting it go.
Wow.
And knew in that
moment, I ain't gonna lie, I'd be salty if someone
I let it go. I was like thanking that soul basically for teaching me this lesson that I'm whole and complete and infinite always. And nothing can change that.
Wow.
No thing in this place can change that. And so I hugged that person and I thought, wow, you must really love me to have done something so horrible, you know. Whoa. And I knew in that moment that it was my boyfriend that I was with in this current reality, who had gotten in the car accident with and who was driving.
Whoa.
So after that, I came out of that vision. My neck had released. The person who had been doing it for me, we had a really close relationship. She actually felt like I was her daughter in a past life.
Mm.
had tears rolling down her face, and she said, "What just happened?" And I told her, and you know, it was just such an amazing healing moment. And then I told the boyfriend at the time, and we hugged and said we loved each other, and then we broke up not very long after that. Because, you know, our karma was done. And
yeah,
after that, that I basically decided I was going to start doing a meditation where I made it up myself, meditation where I was going to clear all my karma. I was like, I'm done. I don't want to come back to this. Mm-hmm. I'm done. So I just meditated on the daily and I went into what I called my cave, and I would go in there and face whatever was in my cave. Initially, when I first went into the cave, it was just black, and I spun around to stir up the energy and I didn't see anything. But then the next time I went in, there was a Tasmanian devil energy in there, and it scared me, and I backed out, and I was like, whoa, I'm not ready for this. But then I was like talking to myself, the one energy, the Aries warrior, and I was like, okay, I gotta do this. I gotta.
So you can do this.
I faced it. And as soon as I faced it, it turned into a beautiful eagle and flew away. And then all kinds of stuff unraveled, like this past life with my father. He was my husband, and we were in Ireland, and our family died of starvation and all kinds of stuff. Anyways, it was really powerful. And I'd say that was probably the most pivotal thing for me, was that vision and being able to see that the most profound healing came from absolute forgiveness. Mm. And that we are always whole and complete, that our energy is infinite and eternal, and that nothing can take that away. Nothing.
Amen.
Yeah. So
wow, that was a lot. But I mean, what a profound realization, and also like how freeing.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness, you know, and I hear it all the time when I'm reading for people, you know, people have had trauma with other people. And I can't get into specifics, obviously, but there was this one time where I saw how like this person's parent was horrible to them in this life because they loved them so much, and they were willing to be that person, you know, that was like a catalyst for growth. Does that make sense? Like, you know, and maybe, like you said, maybe that's kind of like what your boyfriend in this life, like maybe that's what he was in that past life, and that's why that it came to you in that manner.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I do get that perspective quite often too, mm-hmm. where I see that some people who are like the most horrible people, I'm like, wow, they're actually teaching us the greatest lesson, and they're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
Up what it means, I don't know, they're coming at our healing or at our consciousness and our self-realization from an angle that is so difficult, like to mm-hmm. be the bad guy in a movie, say this is a movie and you're the bad guy in the movie, like mm-hmm. you can be a pretty strong person to play that character, you know, like mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of hate energy directed towards you, and
right.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And I remember after that vision and after all of that, I kind of, that's when I found A Course in Miracles, and I found there was a book called Disappearance of the Universe, and I read that, and it was really interesting because it was basically about forgiveness, forgiving everything in your reality, forgiving it all. And
right.
I had babies like eventually, you know, and I mm-hmm. was really, I was like, I'm having a hard time letting go of my children even, you know. I have to say, now that my kids are pretty much adults, I can let them go more. It's a mm-hmm. lot easier for me to back off and let them live their own life and
yeah,
feel any sense of like control or that I need to do something.
Right, know, right.
For them in some way. But
absolutely. Yeah. Wow. What a powerful testimony, you know? It's like so incredible. And I mean, don't you just love spontaneous past life? Just like popping up out of nowhere, giving you profound insight, you know, just a casual day.
Yeah. I haven't had very many past life stuff in the last few years. I'll say that. Like it's become more of a, I think, I don't even know. Right now, it just feels like I'm really present in this, in the now. And it's not something I need to go too much into the past to figure out.
Right. But
I think a lot of people would do well to have readings with you and to dive into some past stuff and then use it for their own healing, you know.
Too. Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, like you said, time isn't linear, you know, these lives are not linear. And, you know, a lot of times there's overlap, you know, and there's situations and relationships and events that take place within our lives that are continuations of energy coming from, you know, different timelines all the time, you know?
Yeah,
absolutely. So speaking of gifts and all this magical stuff, tell us, so I'm going to hold up the book, The Body Code. Yeah. So tell us how you got into body and emotion code.
Okay, so I was doing cranial sacral therapy, which I blended with Reiki and Jinshin Do, and I would do that for people. And usually my sessions were an hour and a half to 2 hours because we be a lot of talking. And so while I'd be working with people, I would sometimes, I'd get visions, especially of ancestors. I would parts of people's bodies have energetic blocks and they felt like emotions. And I would see ancestors there. And sometimes I'd see a huge long line of ancestors, like all lined up behind this person spot, or I would see one ancestor in this one spot. So I had a client that I'd been trading with for 2 years. She did acupuncture. Ooh. And I would go to her, or my family or somebody would go to her, and she would come to me as a trade. I love trading. Anytime we can get money out of it, I'm so happy. So
right.
The one
bring control. Back the barter system, y'all.
Exactly. So I was doing that and it was getting to this 2 year mark. And I really was just like, I wasn't vibing. Like I didn't want to go anymore for acupuncture. I was feeling done with it.
Sure.
And I really wanted to help her, but there was just this spot around her heart area. It was locked up and it just wasn't releasing and it was causing her physical issues. And I had a vision of her grandfather like this. No. And I thought, okay, can we please, why not? Like, let go. Sometimes I'd have these conversations in my mind's eye with these ancestors, and often they'd be like, yes, please, let's let this go. I'm ready to let this go. Mm-hmm. But he was just like, no, not getting rid of this.
But I had never,
and it was stubbornness actually from Jim's chart. It was stubbornness, but it was stubborn. Like it felt like stubborn. And so I had never told her about it. And that day she was coming for her appointment and I would go into my treatment room usually before people would arrive. And I would just like meditate and connect with source and the universe. And I would call in Yeshua, like, cause I really always felt like Jesus was the best healer. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be your hand. You can just use me. And that's how I always did it. And so essentially, I would do that every time before a client came, but this time I was just like, okay, that's it. I don't want to continue to do this. If I can't get past this, you need to give me another tool. And then I kind of threatened the universe. I was like, I won't do this anymore if you don't give me another tool. Some very childlike areas there. So essentially she came and she said, oh, Sheridan, I can't wait to tell you what happened. So I had this thing called emotion code last night and they were practicing it on me and we found 3 trapped emotions and it was all in my heart wall and it was around my heart. And I was like, okay, that's sounds promising already because that's feeling like it was locked. Mm-hmm. And she said, and they were inherited from my grandfather and one of them was stubbornness. And I had never told her that.
And so oh my gosh.
I got goosebumps and I was like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. And
yeah,
so on the table. And I like always start at the ankles of the feet to read the body and read what's going on. And she felt so different. And so then I went out around to the heart area to unwind the fascia, which is one of the things you can do in cranial sacral therapy, inner skin. So I went to go do that and it just like unwound so easily. I had not had that in 2 years with her and it was so beautiful. And I said, okay,
wow,
what do you do? And she told me, and she said, we're going to do it tonight. Do you want to come? And I said, yes, please. And so That was it. That was how I got that modality. And then the person who was practicing it on her was a massage therapist, actually. And she was getting closer to retirement. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what? I want to gift this to you. And meanwhile, at the time, the course was over $1,000. It still probably is. Mm-hmm. But he ended up gifting me all of the information, the books and the videos, everything. So I just ran with it. It just felt so right. And I started my session. So that's how that all came about. And I realized that that was probably the most powerful healing tool that I had ever had in my toolbox.
Wow. That's so powerful. And I mean, what a gift, truly. You know, what a gift that she gave you. The universe like followed through, didn't they?
They did. And yeah, I ran into her just the other day and I hadn't seen her in a really long time, and I told her that I was still going full on with it. Got the new book. I love the new body code book. I love it. So good. It's better than the original manual, I have to say. It's easier to use and it just has more stuff in it. It has entity clearing in it, so it has that wasn't in the original body code.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna ask you if there were differences between then and now, but I assume that there were.
Yeah, it's more user friendly. And there definitely is more stuff in there, especially with what's happened in the last few years. And and then also just, it's almost like he's not afraid. Yeah, he wasn't afraid in what he put into that book or in the app. There is an app as well. So,
oh, okay.
You can get an app for your phone and do it that way as well. So,
wow. Amazing. Yeah, just like, you know, evolving, just you know, evolving right along with us, you know, because we as a species are evolving right now.
And also just not being afraid to say some of the things that you would have been labeled a conspiracy theorist before, like heavily, if it was when it was 2008 and 2009, when he first came out with the information.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, back then, like he didn't have stuff about chemtrails, like he didn't have stuff in the book or in the.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like our environment is like we're starting to see just like how inundated we are. Like we were talking about heavy metals the other day, you and I were, you know, we were talking about how those, you know, affect us. They do affect our mental state, you know, and there's people are starting to realize these things more and more, like how important, it is to be mindful of what you put in your body, and what's not just that, but what's being put into your food, you know. I for one am on the mind that I want to start growing my own food, because you just don't know what you can trust, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been really into gardening and growing food for a really long time. Mm-hmm. What really spoke to me many years ago too, when my kids were little, was, mm-hmm. and I think these came out around 2008 as well, maybe, the Ringing Cedars of Russia books. Mm. And in it, Anastasia talks about how to even grow food so that the food itself knows you. So like seeds in the ground, like you put the seed in your mouth and you hold it in your mouth for a little while. Like, you know how you have to wet seeds? Mm-hmm. Well, you do that and just like for a few minutes or a minute or something, but you let the seed be in your mouth so it gets to know your DNA and your energy body. And then you start the seed that way. And then that plant grows for you. It grows all the things you need, like where you're deficient and what your body needs. And it'll grow for you. And
that's fascinating.
So I was really into that, and growing food and mixing food with flowers and just making it more natural. Like I was, you know, berries in with flowers. Like I have strawberries mixed all around my garden. I have some strawberries under a cage so the birds don't get them, but I do have them all around mixed in with flowers so that like little kids and even birds and stuff can have a little snack. And it's just like nature, you know. I don't know. It's like Garden of Eden. That's always been my dream blueprint, you know. It's my heart wants to actually
I love it so much. Okay, so let's go back to, you know, emotion code and body code. I did have a question for you. So how does knowing about your guides shape your spiritual practice and your work with the emotion code and body code? And also part B to that question is, what does your practice look like your daily practice?
So essentially I'll mix the two together. So in the mornings, usually I would normally wake up around 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my time that I mm-hmm. will connect with my family of light. Mm-hmm. Which is where I include the guides or within that family of light. Mm-hmm. And from there, I like meditate on that. I bring that energy in. Mm-hmm. I ground that in and I become it. I feel that I am the infinite ocean of love, light, and I am mm-hmm. force creator. I am Mother, Goddess, Gaia. I am, you know, my family of light. I am expression of that. So that is how I feel. Like I embody it and I practice that usually first thing in the morning when I wake up. That's exactly what I do before mm-hmm. I do anything else. And then from there, I'll usually do a lot of the clearings that I do in the early hours of, sometimes I'll even wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning. I haven't for a while. Things are shifting rapidly.
No doubt.
Nothing is normal. Nothing is like my normal routine anymore. It's like trial by fire right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
But randomness is my routine.
I try to do all those things, but it's, mm-hmm. more, it's at different times now, and it's really also really important for me now to really concentrate on getting outside and grounding and earthing, you know.
Absolutely.
Because basically what we're doing is we're embodying spirit is becoming embodied 100%, instead of it being out there, it's in here, and it's becoming a part of our whole body.
Right.
So every cell is purging and detoxing. So it's a totally different experience now.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, and you're right. Like, I know that we talk about this, but I just wanted to, you know, give clarity for those of you, you know, those out there listening. And tell us, like, do you have particular guides that you work with whenever you're doing emotion and body code, or does it change?
Well, it has been mainly Yeshua, and I do call in Kuan Yin as well for compassion. Mm-hmm. And then lately, more so, I've been also, for my own protection, calling in Bear Spirit and Raven Spirit, because you reminded me of that. And it's important, because even the other day when I was struggling a little bit with some entity attacks,
mm-hmm.
reminding me of those. And it was already funny, because that day I was like, oh, I wish I had more bear energy right now. And I should have just said, forward, you know.
Right.
I couldn't think.
And you right.
With that. So,
right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, folks, don't sleep on your animal spirit guides, because they're your protectors. That's why they're there.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, bear and raven, and I do have eagle. I often feel like eagle is a big one for me, because it mm-hmm. gives me a bigger picture. There's a lot of eagles around here. Like, I have eagles all the time
mm-hmm.
around my home, and, you know, often I always see them. I'll just be like, oh, eagle. Okay, cool. But yeah, so I call in those guys. And when I was younger, I used to feel the other guides more. So I would feel, I felt a Native American man who was one of my guides with me mm-hmm. a lot when I was in my 20s and early 30s. And I also felt like there was a monk, a Buddhist monk that was mm-hmm. with me. But now it's mostly I'm calling in animal spirits and the big wigs. So I'm going for
the big wigs.
The G's. Chris calls them the G's. He's like Master G.
I love it.
Yo, G's, big G's. Yeah. Anyways, so I call in the big wigs, and I'm going for the big ones, because it's just a really intense time right now. There's a lot more for me to deal with. It feels like, as I said, I do feel strongly that as Earth is ascending, we're moving the astral realm would be a place you visited in your sleep. I don't feel like you need to do that. I feel like it's here right now in our waking time, and have the ability to see psychically somehow, which I do. You're going to see it. And so it's a little confusing. I think that a lot of the nightmares people are having right now are the astral realm. It's just bleeding into everything right now. Like, you don't have to purposely go and try to travel astrally right now. It's here. It's very present. And so this is what I mean by trial by fire. I just feel like it's because I had to ask yesterday. I was like, right. What? On, and that was what came through. That is
the okay message. Yes. I think it's very safe to say that everybody's dreams are ratchet, which is a word I love to use here lately. they are trippy, like more so than usual, and people are experiencing like big emotions, you know, like we were talking about, like not long ago, like there was just this overwhelming sense of anger that was coming up, you know, anger and sadness, like it's like toggling back and forth, you know, which I personally believe they're in the same wheelhouse anyway. So I don't feel like you can be happy and angry at the same time necessarily. So
yeah, you know, and when you do the emotion code stuff, uh-huh. see on the chart, like, or in the body code book, you see on the chart that these emotions are in the meridian, like he's got them listed in the meridians. So it says
here, I have it here. I can show.
Yeah.
The list, if anybody's watching via video, like they have like a whole chart.
Yeah. So like sadness, for instance, in the lung or the colon meridian, that doesn't mean that you have sadness sitting in your lungs, but often, you know, grief does sit in this area of the body. And people who have asthma or have health issues with their lungs, usually it's definitely those people have grief. Like that's what I've noticed throughout years and years.
Yes.
Well, is, you know, there's definitely body parts that hold stuff.
Right.
And yes, anger, of course, is liver. Doesn't mean that it's in your liver, though. So it's in the
right.
You've got them in the meridians, and the meridians, of course, run through our entire body. So it could be anywhere in the body, but it's usually going to be on the meridian of those organs.
Right.
And so
I got you.
Hearing from the collective consciousness of humanity for years now, ever since I read Power Versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins, and he had consciousness in there, and I would use that in my practice. I would whip out that as well when I would motion code, and I would kind of suss out before my client came, I'd suss out where they sat on the map of consciousness energetically, like their overall frequency. And if you know the map of consciousness, like 200 is the level of courage. Above that to 1,000 is all the testing strong, like muscle testing. And anything below that is weak. So bottom being, I believe, shame and then grief, you know, and we're going to, you know, so those are trapped emotions as well. So that I kind of suss out where they were with their overall frequency. And if I was doing long distance stuff with people where I had never met that person, I would just test where they were on the map of consciousness. And then I would do a motion code. I'd clear all whatever I could in a session. And in a session, I'll clear, you know, between 20 and 40 trapped emotions, usually, like in when I,
wow.
I would do that. And so I started to do that for the collective consciousness. I was like, okay, well, let's see where the collective consciousness is on the map of consciousness. And usually we were sitting just above 200.
Okay.
Just above. So we had courage. It was good, you know. But I was like, okay, we got to get way the heck up there. I want to get into the love territory. And we started ascending in 2020, I want to say, so the last few years have really messed with my head and time zones.
But I know. Yeah, I know what you mean. What is time? You know, is time real?
I'm like,
probably not.
I'm in the now, and there is no time. So
right. Yeah,
2020 seems like it was when I started to really see a shift in consciousness. And actually, it's really interesting because Pam Gregory mentioned it early on in her videos about how somebody was testing the consciousness and getting like three something. I was getting like 390. I was like, holy shizzle. That's a big jump to go from, you know, just above 200 to almost 400. So that's a leap in consciousness. And that's what I'm getting too. And I had been like clearing and clearing from the collective consciousness. Usually I'd only be able to clear maybe two or three trapped emotions from the collective consciousness of humanity. And what I've noticed lately, and since March 22nd, because that was a magic day, so basically since then I have noticed, okay, this is where I feel like we moved into the astral belt. And since then I've noticed people are clearing a lot of helplessness, hopelessness. I know myself, I have too. Low self-esteem, lack of control, all the things the ego really has, the lower aspect of our ego, like the negative aspect of our ego, have been feeding off of. So,
I actually have a question here, if you don't mind. So we have Kaz or Karen Stamper in the chat group, and she says, I'm curious to know, do you think the astral will stay with us, or is it a phase, and why is this happening?
Okay, so I asked about that, and I'm getting, time, when I ask anything about future, of course, mm-hmm. as you know, we can't fully to say 100% what's
right. It's being created in every moment.
Exactly. But I'm getting about a week and a half. And so when I asked last night again, I looked on my calendar. I'm like, oh, so is the closing of that portal, like this transit we're moving through the astral, does it end on May 5th at the eclipse? Mm-hmm. And I was getting a yes. So it is a phase. Well,
that makes sense too, because the lunar eclipse portal is about endings.
Yes.
Dude, that makes sense.
So that was what I was getting. It's a phase we're moving through. Cause it you know, as yeah. you know, I have been harassed beyond
yeah.
since March 22nd when my Merkaba was activated. Mm-hmm. And it's just been, I mean, it's been exponential, the amount of entities I've been able to hear, and
it's been a lot, yeah.
And information that's come through, but by the 5th of May, I'm getting that it's over, like we're moved through that realm. So it's just a really intense healing period, really.
Yeah, no doubt.
The emotional body is front and center right now, mm-hmm. you know. We're seeing all of our shadow. And like that last eclipse, I was saying, essentially, it was not only blocking out the light, it was also shining on the dark side of the moon. So the mm-hmm. dark side that we don't normally get to see, or get, it doesn't get lit up. That, if you want to look at it as a metaphor for what we're going through, essentially.
Right.
Light is shining on the aspects of ourselves that we mm-hmm. normally don't see. We can't see, we don't know they're there or what's there.
Right. Yeah. And if I may nerd out with numerology for a moment, you know, we are in April, we've been in an 11-2, which is a master number, universal month. And so 11 is about enlightenment. It's about shining the light on those hidden things, you know, bringing things to the surface so they can be known. And it's like taking that information, what will you do with that information? So that all totally checks out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do find, you know, microcosm, macrocosm, we're always mm-hmm. seeing reflections in everything of the truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that totally matches what I've perceived. And then it was just like a revelation epiphany yesterday that mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense, because even my dreams have been more vivid, and I feel like I've been in the astral more, and I'm not even trying,
you know? Right. Just casually go into the astral,
you know? And then also while I'm working and clearing people, I'm in the astral clearing their energetic body, but I'm awake. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm like, all of a sudden, I'll just know after I've done the session, I'll just be like, oh my gosh, I got an entity attached to me now, even though I put protection up and I did all
that
I normally do.
Yeah, it's like your sensitivity is like massively heightened.
Exactly. So much more sensitive.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so I also had another question for you. And this was actually a question that a friend of mine wanted to know. She asked me to ask you this yesterday. and the question is, how does trauma stored in the physical body affect emotional clearing?
Okay. Well, I wrote that down because I thought that's an interesting question.
And it is an interesting question.
And what I want to switch it to is, how does emotional clearing affect trauma stored in the physical body? Because that's the reality, is as we clear emotions, we also clear the trauma from our body.
Period.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the answer. Because I was feeling like that myself, but I was like, you know, I feel like this is a good question to ask, you know, because absolutely. Yeah, it's like flipping around and that's your answer.
Exactly. And so also when I did cranial sacral therapy, for instance, and I would, and even in cranial sacral therapy, I learned the up ledger style. So there's two different ones that people are doing now. There's one called biodynamic and the one I originally learned, which is up ledger through the up ledger. Mm-hmm. Institute. Mm-hmm. And there is actually some ways of energetically clearing in craniosacral therapy, which I found very interesting. So you would hold your fingers in a V pattern on one side of where you felt energy trapped, and you would do one finger pointing towards these, or a hand even pointing towards these two fingers, send a beam of energy through the body to those two fingers, and you would be sending the trapped energy. So what that was is, in physics, for instance, that the force, if you hit yourself, the force of the energy would come in, say I like hit my elbow, and then the force of the energy might come in and get stuck right here. So same with anything, any accidents. And so that's what often causes people to have issues. So if you have, for instance, a concussion and you've been hit on the head, the force of the injury, that the hit is a force, it would get stuck somewhere in the head. So often it's just a trapped energy. It doesn't even have an emotion in it. But what can happen is the trauma, which is the energies trapped from the injury,
right,
become a magnet for trapped emotions.
Right. So
when you have issues, it now is like attracts like, right?
Right.
That even now with this moving through the astral belt realm thing that we're doing, is like is attracting like. So that's what I'm just continually clearing from myself as well, because I can just be pure love and have no more trapped emotions, which is really hard because we're constantly making trapped emotions too, by not speaking our truth
or not
our hearts and all those things. But essentially, if we can be pure love, nothing could attach to us. It would just move on through, right?
Right.
If you have these energetic blocks within your body, then those entities or even emotional energies can get trapped to them. It's like a magnet. It just makes more trauma be in one.
Just sucks it up and like a sponge. Yeah.
Magnet. Everything just starts sticking to it. And that's why removing the energy is really awesome. And I do really think cranial sacral therapy is an amazing modality. But the thing is, I think energy is what we are. And if we can clear the trapped emotions and clear the energy without even hands on, which is what the body code's all about, it's a powerful, powerful tool.
Absolutely. I agree. We have another question in the chat from Alice. She says, I can't wait until May 5th. And she says, when are the entities and psychic attacks going to be gone forever?
Oh gosh, I wish I could tell you that.
All right.
I do feel that it is something that's not going to be hundreds or thousands. I know there are lots of people out there that say, "Oh, we got tons of time left to go. We got years and years and years." I don't agree with that. That's not something that resonates for me. I can't tell you when. But I did have a vision when I was in 1998, again, when I was doing those meditations after my car accident. which is what led me to those meditations. I did have a vision that, you know, actually one of the last times I went in to my cave, there was two golden beings of light there. And it wasn't a big deal. Like, I was just like, oh, hi, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Okay. They were like, Sheridan, we got to show you something. And I was like, okay. So they took me out into space and I was looking at the earth from far away. And I basically watched the earth become a twin. Like, it doubled. It became
like a cell that split.
Exactly. And then this one moving in my vision to the right was beautiful, bright green, blue light. The other one was gray, and it just looked like a tired, like it was like a shadow almost, and it was gray. The original. But this one was just like a fresh new cell that was all lit up. And they said, this is beginning 2012 and it ends in 2023, but it kind of has a 3-year ending. So 23, 24, 25. Mm-hmm. And what I got from that was that it won't be the same for everybody. It just kind of depends on where you're at. 3-year period of ending.
Yeah.
That's the portal until we are on New Earth. And so some of us are on New Earth now. And that's what I feel like is this, we're moving through this astral realm. And once we're through it, I think many of us could already be on New Earth at that point and be in the realm of our creator selves, our energetic creative self. And so many people right now are in the ending of a portal time, you know, and I'd say that most healers or most of us who are awake and aware are probably in that phase. And then those people who are just coming online right now, they have a rapid ascension ahead of them for the next 3 years.
Right.
And give it, you know, for 3 years from now, 2026. And I think you've said something about that too. And even logically, doesn't that line up, right? So, and that was in 1998, I got that. And I had no freaking clue what the heck was going on. But they said, this is happening. And then they said, you will be given a choice. And you was in all of us. And that choice is, you know, you can choose the light or you can choose not the light.
Right.
You can
choose your choice.
You can, like, you don't get the choice. You always have the choice. It's just, you're always being given the choice. And that's what they said. Because at first I was like, oh, that's sad. Not everybody's going to choose the light, you know, like that reaction. And they were like, oh, come on, Sheridan, you know, they will be given the choice. Time's not real. And because I said, oh, it feels like it's going to take so long. And they said, come on, you know, time's not real. I was just like, yeah, but it feels really real when you're here.
It does. Like, y'all don't know.
An old soul that's tired. Please make this be less time, not more time.
No doubt. Yeah, I saw, I channeled this like massive message in the records, and it was saying that, like, right now, like from 2023 to 2025 is like a preparation time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that checks out. I mean, with, like you said, like this portal type energy, like I can totally see it being that way. Like, we're preparing ourselves for the evolution of man, you know, and like what's to come and what's ahead, and because things are going to be so different. And on that note, that was one of my questions. In your opinion, what does the future of healing look like?
Well, so interestingly, I got the message back in 2018 when I was stopping, when I wasn't on anymore. And even I still feel this very strongly, that we won't need to have healers anymore. And we won't need to do healing for others anymore. And that everybody's going to be able to have their own spiritual hygiene mm-hmm. and awareness. Like, it's like, as we ascend and move into the higher realms and dimensions and energies and awareness and consciousness, because that's all it is, mm-hmm. Our whole body is going to shift. I think, you know, we'll push a reset button. Mm-hmm. And our self-awareness and consciousness will be so expanded that we won't have the duality we had before that was dragging us down. I think that we won't need to heal, is what I'm saying. We're going to be mostly healed, essentially. And all we'll be focusing on at that point is creation, creator energies, and expanding our ability in the creative realms and expanding consciousness in the creative ways. And that's what unifying and community is all about. Like, because there won't be the ego that makes us insecure. There won't be the duality that makes us weighed down by our ailments and limitations and our limiting beliefs that were programmed into our heads, and all of that stuff will be gone.
Yeah.
And that's what we're healing right now. That's what we're going through, massive healing right now. And eventually we get to a place where now all we want to focus on is creative stuff, and we'll collectively come together. We'll be just like, hey, you got a piece of my puzzle over here. Let's work together to create, you know,
some right.
cool stuff. There's going to be a lot of cool things that come forward, and everybody is a piece of the puzzle. Like, that's why it's so important that we're each such a unique fractal of source of the one, right? And when you put
right.
together, you get a really cool being. That's what you're doing.
So, I'm here for it, I tell you.
You are, and yeah, we all are, and that's the exciting part, you know. Mm-hmm. I that's super exciting part. And
very cool. And speaking of which, you know, with the way everything is in the world right now, what piece of advice would you give someone who is afraid of the state of the world at this time?
Watching the news. Well, everybody, I'm sure lots of people have said that. So I do think one of the biggest things you can do is literally stop watching the news and literally close your eyes and start meditating. And I find that people don't meditate enough. I find that people will say, I can't meditate, I don't know, la la la. You know, there is like a million ways to meditate and to begin meditating. And I do think that if we can close our eyes and go in, and I got the message back in 2020 when all this stuff started coming forward. I was doing a Joe Dispenza meditations quite heavily then. I probably for about a year doing full on hour to 2 hour meditations every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so when 2020 hit and all that stuff started happening, I just looked at it like, this is clown world. Like, what? I had zero fear. And I just saw it all as make-believe. It just wasn't real. And so it made me realize, like, everything I see, generally what I have in my own personal reality, mm-hmm. beautiful, right? I was surrounded by beauty, and my family was all healthy. Everybody was good. Nothing, mm-hmm. there was no negativity. But if I looked on the screen, I was getting all this other information that didn't match up with my actual reality. And my actual reality is created by me, by my perspective and experience, right? And so I knew that through doing these meditations. And so I just think that people need to meditate. They need to practice meditating and find whatever works for them. There's so many different kinds of meditations. There's Insight Timer app, which I love. Joe Dispenza meditations if you can handle Joe Dispenza. Some people don't like his voice. There's a transcendental meditation, which I think is probably, I mean, anything that can quiet the mind so that your mind shuts up.
Yeah.
Is really, really good. And
right.
Also being creative, like taking your mind off of all the outside world. And if you can play an instrument, or you can sing, or you can draw, or you can paint, being creative is a meditation. And that in itself can take you away from all the other things and put you into a totally new energy and zone. Mm-hmm. Gardening, growing things is so powerful. That's also a meditation. You know, just lying on the ground and looking at the clouds and seeing what shapes they make, you know, staring mm-hmm. at the stars at night. All of those things are really good meditations. And I think anything that will take you away from news that's negative and narratives is what is going to help you the most.
Right. Yeah, because I have people, you know, and I speak to people of all different, you know, mindsets, you know, and beliefs, and, you know, and it's just because I want to truly understand, you know, where somebody's at and why they feel the way that they do. And truly I find like what you, it's like that parable, like which wolf are you feeding, you know, like, yeah. What are you feeding? You know, as within, so without, as above, so below, you know? And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, oh, well, you're not going to experience negative things or something like that. But I'm of the belief that, you know, we are like, you know, 90% of how we react to things, you know, like life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. And, you know, and like holding space for people, you know, holding space for people who are extremely steeped in fear, who don't know, you know, how to regulate themselves, regulate their nervous system, you know.
Well, on a physical level, they could go get craniosacral therapy or get a massage, get something mm-hmm. that will calm them down a bit. Mm-hmm. That would be a reset, some kind of a reset.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, people who, you know, there might be some people out there who say, oh, well, I don't have the money for that right now or something like that. You know, there are so many things that you can do that are free, you know, like you said, meditation.
And look at the stars, lay on the ground and look at the clouds.
Right.
Keep your device away from you.
Right.
And just get back to nature. Go hug
right. a tree.
Literally, nature is a meditation in itself as well.
Absolutely.
But the divine blueprint, it's the divine creation. And we are
absolutely
divine creation and divine blueprint. We are nature, you know, and we mm-hmm. just
nature incarnate. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's another reason I love connecting people with their guides, is because it's like, people will say, you know, I've always felt so alone, you know, and it's like, you're never, ever alone. You know, you have this team around you of light all the time, you know, who love you and
yeah.
And they're always in support of you, even if you don't realize it.
Yeah. I've never felt alone. I never felt alone. When I was a teenager, I would have visions and I thought I was insane. I was already perceiving the astral realm in my waking hours. Even then, like, I would get stuff or while I was asleep and I'd be just like, what is that? Like, I'd see men, I'd see all these faces, I'd see all these people who I didn't know, and they would be coming at me, and I just was, what is going on? Am I insane? Like, am I losing my mind? But really, it was just all these energies and emotional bodies of people mm-hmm. coming to me because I'm a light, because I was obviously meant to be a healer again. And so they were like, come on, help me. And I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, you're scary to a 12-year-old girl here. I don't know. This 58-year-old man that looks like he's being tortured, you know, like it was no doubt. Yeah, for sure. It was really weird. And yeah. Luckily, and I have to say, you know, some magic mushroom trips definitely helped me. Yep.
Love it.
20s, you know, I definitely grew a lot in my 20s. A lot happened. And, you know, 27, the magic age, right? The Saturn return age. So that was actually probably 1998, was it? Or anyway, yeah, I think it was. That was when I had that vision. That's when I had that car accident. So much happened when I was 27.
It
was
sounds like it. Yeah.
Awakening.
Yeah. It is different for everybody, but yeah, that's like kind of the median age for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was such a wonderful chat. Thank you so much for being here. And my last question is, how can people find or connect with you?
Basically I have a channel on Telegram called Creator Consciousness, and you can message me through that, or I have my email. Essentially, you can post my email under this and people can have sessions if they want with me that way. And that's it. I don't have anything else social media. I gave all that up in 2020, 2021, because I was just like, okay, the world's a little too crazy right now for me.
I understand. Well, this was awesome. And I also want to thank everybody who joined in the chat. Thank you for coming in, you know, commenting and sticking with us. Sharon, and I would love to have you back on the podcast sometime. And I really appreciate your time, and I want to thank everybody listening through Soul Prints Podcast, which can be found on Apple, Spotify, Google, most, you know, streaming platforms, or you can listen here on my YouTube channel, which is under Akashic Beck. But thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.